I am sure that if anyone understands the anarchistic in people, I understand it better than all. I can understand and comprehend why people like to be independent and not to participate in any kind of group or collective decisions or group actions. I can understand that. But what would your world be if you didn't have something which you could revolve around, which became a nuclei for a purpose in a disordered world? Capitalism has been bent on seeing that we have no guidelines, that everyone becomes cynical and distrustful, except of the big things. Yeah. And even though they may engender a little cynicism or skepticism about the big things, they know that there's nothing you can do about the dynasties of power, the terrible tentacles of power that reach out from Washington and from every news media that represent what the power structure wants to say. And I was looking up at one sister in the balcony, and I could not help but comprehend where she was. I saw her as an anarchistic type of person, and I wonder why she makes a specialty in talking about things or running down things, that she does not participate more fully with her consciousness, because she's a very brilliant woman, a very sensitive woman. And I thought, how miserable she'd be if she were able to bring about the anarchy that she really wants. How miserable it would be if you had nothing, your life was void and without meaning, when you know as much as you do. Now, certainly without socialism, all this would have no meaning. Without that as a goal, without that as an end, this would have no meaning. I can understand why people would have some skepticism, although I wouldn't take any joy away from people that are healed and all the miraculous things that are done, which are amen and true. There's no question about the authenticity of the work that I do. It is empirically proven. It has been tested by doctors, and we have had confirmed statements by hosts of doctors. So it isn't a matter of whether you believe or not believe, but I personally would have to be motivated with more than that. But the thing that I cannot understand is why anyone would pull away from the enthusiasm that is engendered in this house, when we know that we are building a collective movement that can resist the overriding influences of fascism. Now, you know, if you did not know, it'd be different, but you already know the dangers, you know the threats. There's no way you can go back to the place of apolitical consciousness or unawareness. You're already aware. You've already become knowledgeable of the facts that are about you. Films like that we saw about the DuPonts controlling the state of Delaware, or Rockefeller's the state of New York, that's not new to you. That's old hat. That's absolutely self-awareness to you. So what would you possibly do if you were to defeat this group? If your defiance, your own skepticism, your own cynicism, and your own rebellion and anarchy, what would you possibly do? You couldn't live with yourself knowing that you had destroyed the only solidarity, as Mayor Johnson said, Deputy Mayor Johnson, the only solidarity that lists, that is alive in the land, is in People's Temple. That's what he said here last week. Now, what would you be? So some of you find it difficult. I notice you look at others who you think, well, I saw some of the minds looking at others. Well, that person has committed treason, and that person isn't just what they ought to be. So I don't like them dancing. Does that excuse you? If you're not a hypocrite, then you should dance more than the hypocrite. You should shout and clap and rejoice more if indeed you see someone as a hypocrite, and maybe you don't see them aright. Maybe at least they're struggling with their self. Maybe they're making an effort to overcome. But you may be just finding a cop-out. You may be just looking for a rationalization for not doing anything. Because, you see, we are saying something very true that is very sincere and very real. We are saying that God is not dead, but he's very much alive. God means a purpose. God means a causality. God means a creative purpose in our life. We have that. Jim Jones is just a reflection of that great principle. He embodies that principle. He's made that principle real. He has made it completely, honestly real in every one of our lives. He's never betrayed the integrity of divine socialism. So we have a God. God is not dead. He's very much alive. I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. Oh, God is God. God
never change until you God is God.
I want that one that the sister brought forth. She brought it forth. Let her bring it forth. Again, let her bring it forth. Bring it out of the consciousness. Never be afraid to pull back from something you start. Even God can do that, so you as humans can do it.
God's not dead. He is still alive. God's not dead. He is still alive. I can feel him in my hand. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over. Mighty God. Whoa. Mighty God.
You see, for demonstrating unity. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Blessings to you and peace. We have three that are out of control there in the corner.
The little girl, she said her father killed her mother, and she was really touched by it.
One little girl, that's a young lady that's dancing back there, and she thought her father had killed her mother until I told her by revelation something that was locked up in her heart. And so she's got something to rejoice about. Some of those young people have never danced before, so I would not stop them. Some of them I've never seen move, and they've been having a glorious time in this holy revolution. Blessing. Peace. At this stage of the revolution, it is most necessary that we have such joyous occasions. You might say, for one reason, as a sublimation to our great hostilities against the common enemy. Peace. if we were not to rejoice, city of San Francisco, and all of the agencies of the fascist bureaucracy that is tuned in on our frequency, to all those that are listening in Washington, be they CIA or FBI, and private provocateurs and the local police, to all those that are interested, if we were not to release this at this stage in the revolution, we would tear your city upside down. You can be very grateful in face of the violence. I feel a bit personally aroused, and I'm always universally aroused, but I feel personally concerned because tonight, though he did not bear record to me, one of my sons was nearly shot in the Mayflower, in the supermarket down the way, as it whisked by his head. And he came up to me and he said he wanted to tell me. I said, tell the people. He has not yet told the people. But I know, because if I had not been there in the intervention, he would have been destroyed by a bullet. And so I find my aggravations at a system that provides the little people with alcohol, and the little people and the defenseless people and the insecure people and the less privileged and the oppressed people with liquor and guns, and will give them free license to kill one another of the same color of skin. So I have a great incensed feeling. I might say that God has a vengeful feeling. God has an aggressive feeling. God has an angry feeling. Because if I had not put my eternal hand of socialism up, this young man would have been shot straight away, and he would have been left at best a vegetable. But he is not so. And though he has not personally borne record to me, I know, because I was there when the man was assaulting. When the man was assaulting the security guard, I was troubled in my sleep. I had just 10 minutes of sleep, but I awakened to see the visual situation, and I put myself there as a shield, as a buckler and a shield, as a defense. And you might say that my people and their God are getting overly tired of being a defender. And if you continue to offend the morals of man by your racist institutions and your warmongering and the making of jellies and bombs and chemicals and defilements to destroy people who have no more guilt than that their color is of a different complexion than the hockey, if you don't stop this, I will change my defense to an offense.
I would like to know, I've heard you say that Jesus' spirit went into the gardener. I think I heard you say this.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know what happened to his body in the grave. Was the body immortalized and changed into the gardener, which was seen at the grave? And if so, was it the spirit came out of the body and went into the gardener, which was already, the body was already prepared?
to reflect on that point of view, that metaphysical consciousness, it's something like an identical twin. It's often said that identical twins feel the same things, experience the same kind of physical and physiological processes. So at the time of Jesus' departure, he died just like all people die, disintegrated in atoms, atomized just like everyone atomizes. At that particular point, the gardener had reached a level of consciousness, understanding, comprehension, empathy, the same degree that he was at that particular stage. It would have been 100-fold for that hour. 100-fold in that hour might be 30-fold today, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
Because the consciousness raises. The 100-fold degree, or the 100% hour, of course, changes with the more of truth and the more of evolution. But actually, the story thereon, from there on, about the resurrection is where King James's myth begins and the fables begin. It didn't happen that way. Death has never been conquered of any generation except this time. No time has a cold body been brought back to life except under the auspices of me in this body. The rest is myth. So it was like, it's like the transmission of light or the transmission of energy. The mind contact was there. So the identical spirit, the identical understanding, the identical authority was transposed into the gardener. The same amount of truth was there, the same unfoldment, the same degree of dedication, the same revolutionary consciousness. And consequently, because Mary and Martha was looking for a man and would know no man after the flesh, not even Jesus, because they were looking for that same body, they missed the 100-fold for them, and they departed from the faith at that particular juxtaposition. That's where they lost their understanding. We are to recognize truth. We are not to follow Jim Jones because of the way he looks, or the way he speaks, or the way he sings. We are to follow Jim Jones because of the character that he represents, the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits of knowledge, the fruits of understanding. Thank you. I thought I'd take care of the first part.
Thank you. Now, the second part is, I would like to know, in this body of ours, can we raise our consciousness to the spiritual level where that we can be immortalized?
Indeed. In this age, it is within the reach of our evolution and our dispensation, not only to glorify the body or to immortalize the body, but to, in retrogression, to start a reverse process to go back to the period of youth that we wish. That is within the confines of scientific possibility today, that man, if he will stop this infernal competitive system called back to the period of youth that we wish. That is within the confines of scientific possibility today, that man, if he will stop this infernal competitive system called capitalism and build socialism and just utilize the truth that I have already demonstrated through the fields of empirical study and science, man, woman will not have to go through the process called death, and even aging can be reversed.
Thank you. Father, I have a question that I'd like to ask you. This evening I was listening at the news, and I wonder, why is it that Billy Graham said today that President Nixon would commit suicide? And two, the nation out, as she spoke of them, about the waves in the ocean. It was broadcast this evening. They're so high until they're washing up into people's houses at Malibu. And I was just wondering, is it destruction in the land, or what's happening?
Of course, the ozone level, the stratosphere, the entire Earth's equilibrium, the Earth's atmosphere is so grossly affected that there will be all kinds of natural disaster, tidal waves, earthquakes. There are many who feel that the ice age is beginning, but more recently the thought is that ice is melting and that this ice will cause an inundation, that the water will rise and cover most of the continents of the world. Man has so messed with nature because of his love of money, which is the root of all evil, capitalism. That's what we mean by capitalism. That's the word that signifies the love of money, which is the root of all evil. Because of man's desire to make a profit, he's ruined everything he's touched. He destroyed, they're even now so terrified that the higher level ozone concentrations is broken, and that's why they wouldn't allow this high-powered stratospheric jet to be marketed. Man puts a little bit of curbing on his nature, a little bit of curbing on his appetite, but not enough. All the fumes we put out from industries that are not required to refine their industrialization process, all that pollution going out is affecting the very layers of the protective covering over our air. And when you affect that, the sun breaks through at an unnatural degree. It affects the temperature. It causes imbalance in the weather. It causes all of these earthquake phenomena. You have a great concentration of heat. There may be a significant parallel between concentration of heat that we're having now and a very grave earthquake condition. Topographical area of the earth is affected. This entire course of our planet is affected. So indeed, the water that is increasing on the banks of Malibu are no surprise. Neither are the earthquakes. And this is to be expected. It's a prophecy of all world's religions and all scientific thought that in these days, in this age, there will be earthquakes in diverse places and all kinds of tumult, famine, and pestilence. That does not cause us, or should not cause us, to be willing to sit down and say there's nothing we can do about it. Because if you do, then you lose your soul. Because you must work out the plan of salvation. You must fight to save this earth and make the kingdoms of this earth, the kingdoms of hell, become the kingdoms of God, socialism, and our Christ. You must do that. And you can't sit back on your buffer and say, well, I'm just going to sit back knowing that there's nothing you can do about prophecy. This is going to take place. Man can change nature. He broke through with all these miracles, just as I was speaking to Christine. Miracles could be broken through in a matter of weeks. It could stop cellular death. It's within our reach to stop the cell from dying. It's within our reach, I know, for cells to be recreated, to create youth, to reverse the process. It's within our reach that we can create new members of our bodies. We can create organs in a unnatural setting, an artificial setting, to create the kind of organ that we needed. We could create everything except the mind. The mind, of course, is eternal. In other words, we could actually have an incubation place where the body parts could be made for some who have tired bodies, but they want to live on and do not want to die. They could have that mind transposed in a new body, and a body shaped and fashioned. It's within the possibility, genetically speaking, for man to conceive a picture of what you look like at your youth. And if you didn't like the way you looked at youth, then you could look like somebody else. This is where we are today, on the verge of the greatest miracles ever seen. So certainly all this can be stopped if man will stop his competitive drive, his aggressive, aggrandizing, capitalistic urge. All this animalism can be stopped. And so we must not sit back like other churches and say, well, it is prophesied, King James, the Bible said it so. Well, King James also told so many lies that we will not be excused if we sit back and say, this is the way it's got to be. We must work as if there was no one left to work, not even a God, no one but us. But we must work to bring a heaven on earth. As for Billy Graham, Billy Graham is what you call, he rides a bandwagon. When Nixon was in popularity, he was always with him, golfing with him, saying he was the greatest president that ever came to this country. Now Mr. Nixon is losing favor, and the tide is turning against him, and so he wants to get on the bandwagon to say that Mr. Nixon is committing suicide. Obviously, Mr. Nixon is committing suicide. His phlebitis, all this is arranged because of a sick and tormented mind. That's why you that have had no power should not envy false power. You should not envy the power of the rich or the power of crooked politicians, because Mr. Nixon is going to be lower than a dog's belly before it's finished. I should say the belly of a swine. Obviously he's committing suicide. If he doesn't do it with an overt act, which I would not at all be surprised if he does that. But if he doesn't do it that way, he'll do it by just simply killing himself from the neck up. His thoughts are killing him because he wanted power. And he had the power. And he had everything he needed to whip this country into a dictatorship. Except when the brother asked a question over there one day, I saw a way through it, because we weren't ready for that kind of a dictatorship. And when I said, he will not do it, he will resign because of pressure on his children and pressure on himself and on because of his health. And I said it, and I not only said it, but I prophesy according to the measure of my faith. I make my prophecies come to pass. I send my energy and make them come to pass.
Father.
Thank you. Any other stimulated question?
Father, I wanted to, I heard on the news about the two twins with the old hearts. Why did they have these old hearts? Well,
why did a twin have an old heart?
Yes.
You mean the Siamese twin you're speaking of?
No, it come on the news today that there was two girls, that one of them was jogging and she died. And then the other twin died 10 days later during jogging because they had old hearts.
Well, I would suggest that we develop an acumen for political terms more than that. It gets into the field of karma. It gets into the field of where that person may have been in a former life cycle. Everything in the universe has its order. We believe that it is evolving to a very definite symmetry that will lead to a perfection conclusion. We are Marxian nonviolent socialists that believe that man will evolve to perfection. But in the evolvement, it's a terrible ordeal. And people reap what they sow. Much parents reap what they sow. We all reap what we sow. Whatever we sow, we shall also reap. But I would rather not involve myself into that particular situation, to use intuition to reckon with someone who is not a follower of God in the body today. I would rather not give you a precise definition, because I always speak the truth, and for me to give you a precise definition means that I would have to study the matter very acutely. I would say that as it was with John the Baptist, you see, who knows why John the Baptist had to come back after being Elisha or Elijah, but the scriptures say he did. Both Muslim and Christian scriptures say that he did come back as John the Baptist. Was beheaded because the king made a compromise with the woman, not even knowing what her request would be, and King Herod's request at the end of the dance was the head of John the Baptist. Then John the Baptist still came back again and is walking in our circle today, in our assembly. He's one of our associates. Why does he still come back? Because evidently he did not learn what he needed to learn in a former life to evolve out of here and go to a higher dimension where there is already socialist perfection. All planets after this are on the scale of total perfection. Mind has complete domination over matter. Mind can cause the body to reappear or disappear. The mind can control the elements in all levels in elevation. The first, second, third heaven are the first, second, third terrestrial plane, whichever you want to say. If you're interested in that sort of thing, but if you get too interested in that sort of thing, then you will lose the very thing that you want to achieve. Because when you try to figure out the mysteries of the heavens, you will fail the course of passing this earth life, and thus the very thing that you sought, you lost. The last will be first, and the first will be last. So I will be very careful to keep my mind and my attention devoted on a kind of socialistic atheism, that you do good for good's sake. You don't care whether there is or is not a reward, or there is not immortality, or there is not God. You do good for good's sake and good alone, as I have given you in that revelation and that revolutionary dictum that you have of my activist teachings. That should be your motivation, to do good for good's sake, not wondering whether God's going to see you and put up a notch on the blackboard for you or put a little mark down for you, but do good because you know it's right to do good. Perhaps the couple could have, the child could have been someone of privilege and power in a former life, maybe a Mr. Nixon of sorts in some place, and didn't live up to their standard. Who knows, without going into the chart, the study, the actual intuitive process of that unfoldment, of that reincarnation. But oftentimes, people who have very much in this life and don't use it wisely, who have much of life's goods and material blessings and don't use it wisely, they will then probably be reincarnated and rebirth on a very low plane as some Hottentot, some honky Hottentot, not certainly a black culture, because there's a special privilege in being black in this generation. But they'll reverse in their consciousness if they don't use what they've got. But it's a very dangerous thing to get into, because people then will say, well, people are poor, and thus they should be they shouldn't be hindered. They're working out their own karma. They're working out their own reaping. They've sowed bad life in the former cycle or in a former existence, and as a consequence, we don't want to do anything to eliminate their poverty. Then you're only compounding your own problem, because if you don't help their poverty, you're going to guarantee that you'll be back in poverty yourself. And of course, the higher way to holiness, the higher way to socialism, would be not to even think that way at all. You help poverty because it's wrong for poverty to exist. You help the starving because it's wrong for people to be hungry. You do those things because it is right to do them. But there are many reasons, no doubt, for everything that happens. There's so many, many strange sets of variables and coincidences that occur that it frightens us. But I still contend that we should act as if there is no loving deity outside of God your Father on the earth. That there is no loving deity of benevolence. But 2 out of 3 babies are going to bed hungry. Starvation mounts in every sphere of the world. Nonetheless, no matter how much you explain it, when you start to deal with the origin of man, the origin of human beings, you have to gravely question the sensitivity and love and personal caring of the Creator who was the first cause. A Savior has come, unto us a Savior is born. Unto us a child that has grown into the maturity of 100-fold has come. The government is upon his shoulders. And he has power, and he has wisdom. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Counselor. Yes, he is. But he did not start the confusion. He was a Savior who came after the first cause had failed miserably in his so-called work of creativity. If you don't understand it, don't worry about it. Put it on the shelf, and it'll fit when the time comes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
My question's kind of involved. I'll just see if I can get it out.
What'd you say, Dave?
I said my question is rather involved. I hope I can get it out and make it sound clear. I wanted to know originally the difference between trying to help somebody and letting them take advantage of you. And I remembered that, well, people do take advantage of you. So I know that if you're trying to help somebody, you can go that far. But there are people, it seems like they just use others and they keep on using them. And when you're tired and worn out, they just go on and use somebody else. Also, it seems to me that sometimes when you let yourself be used too much, it's like the masochism of women that you've spoken of, and I wondered, where do you stop?
You don't stop until these that are the chosen in this continent, the socialist ones, the sons and daughters of the Most High, you don't stop until we have turned the world upside down, until the selfishness of man is rehabilitated in rehabilitation schools, until the kingdoms of this selfish world become the kingdoms of our socialist God. We don't worry about those that use us. We are going to be used up one way or the other, and we are out to make a revolution. I understand your thought, Sister Rosingo. It's not easy to let people be a parasitical host on you, to be a bloodsucker. But let me tell you, every dog has its day. It's truly wonderful. You living are going to see the salvation of our God. You living are going to see those parasitical elements brought down and reduced to nothing. You in the land of the living, not in the tomorrows, not when you pass this body, but you are going to see with your own eyes this kind of selfish, capitalistic, competitive greed reduced. You're going to see them cry out for rest. Cry out for a resting place. Cry out for refuge. You're going to see them because the day is fast coming upon us. Peace, love.
Father, I want to know why when Senator Brooks talked so long, many hours with our favorite President Ford, asking him to send the fellow troops to Boston to quell the rout. He made a statement that he did not support the idea of sending the troops to Boston to quell the rout. Yet, he raced hundreds of program soldiers over to the Boston School District with instructions to step up the violence.
You're beautiful and very intelligent.
Thank
extremely
you.
Studious, deeply inquisitive, and for your blood pressure's sake, will you do me the favor of losing 2 pounds a week, because we need
I'll
you.
I'll do my best.
We need you, and I see the future.
Okay.
Take that seriously.
Yep.
Now, secondly, you brought out the contradiction. You know, there isn't any difference between a fascist, if it's a black fascist or a white fascist. if a person supports this establishment and supports the rich rulers that run this country today, I don't care if he's black as Brooke or if he's white like Wallace, they still smell like a skunk. Any black man with half sense would not want to give more power to centralized government, more power to the government, the bureaucracy that could lead us into concentration camps. No one with half sense would want them to come in with their guns, because always these guns, as was exemplified at Kent State, as you remember, these guns of the National Guard, the federal troops, have a way not being turned on against or turned up against those that are the white oppressors, but they end being turned on the students or the black. Senator Brooke ought to go to a psychiatrist and get his mind shrunk.
You brought it out eloquently. I couldn't have added anything to it. You brought out his contradictions. One time he says one thing, another time he says another. How could any black man talk to President Ford an hour? What would a black man have to say to President Ford for 15 minutes? I can think of what a black man might do with President Ford in 30 seconds. He was not only a member of the Ku Klux Klan, but one of the grand dragons of the Ku Klux Klan. We heard what he said when they were killing our black people, and they've killed three in Boston and beat people half to death. President Ford got on the eyes before the whole eyes of the TV nation and said, well, I don't approve of black people being integrated into the schools. He might as well have given the guns to those whites that were doing it when he said that. He later fumbled around, halfway apologized. But Senator, what would I want to see Mr. Ford for? Only if it were this, to get you out through Babylon and to get you through that old oppressive system as it was in the days of Pharaoh, to get you down and park the Red Sea. Only it's not a Red Sea now, it's a fascist sea. I would park the sea. I might talk to Pharaoh to get you through. But what would anybody want to talk with Pharaoh for? Unless it was to remove Pharaoh. So who's Pharaoh? Anybody that's in Washington today is Pharaoh. They're representatives of the monetary class, the Antichrist system, the love of money, which is the root of all evil. All those representatives are enemies of the people. And anybody with a right mind knows that. And those blacks that are kissing up to them are just as bad as the whites. We are under an oppressive Antichrist system, and we must not be satisfied until it is removed. Here we see today Vice President Rockefeller. They find that he owes $860,000 income tax, or something like that, nearly $1 million. They let him pay it with no penalties. If you owed $800, they'd throw you in jail and throw the keys away. That's why I say, come and go with me to a place over across the sea where I have prepared blessed places for you, where there is no violence, where there are no white policemen, where there are no policemen with guns, where there are people that are black and white working together in peace and harmony. Let's get out of Egypt. Let's get out of Babylon. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you for your keen mind. When a black person can speak as eloquently as I hear you speak in this assembly, deprived of education, today of the women that are working, 34% of the workforce in California is white. 3% are black. The national average is 41%. 5% of black women are all those that are able to get a job. Black women cannot even get jobs after they get an education. It's worse even with men, surprisingly enough.
deprived of education, brought here to build this country. We built this country with the sweat of our brow, singing the white man's religious songs about by and by, your seat by and by, we're all going to have shoes. While we worked our feet to the calluses, we worked our self to the bone, and we built this country, made it what it is, and still robbed every day we're robbed. Do you think they advertise this church? Look what we've done in Redwood Valley with all the children, the senior citizen children's home, the vast land, the warehouse full of food for my people. We've given black people dignity. District attorney, a member of our church, all of our people in every department of the offices of that fair county. And we have land and land and land. And that wasn't enough. We saw that the country was still beginning to be overridden by robber barons and racists that did the same that they did to the Jews they would do to the black and the Indians. So we built a place of 27,000 acres across the sea for all people, white and black. Beautiful homes that you've seen in our movies. We own a boat. We have tractors, and we have all kinds of garden equipment. We have three tractors, in fact, and two bulldozers, and a backhoe, and a sawmill, and our own power generators. We have all kinds of equipment, and we don't even get covered in this newspaper, not a line. But who gets the coverage? Catherine Kuhlman, robbing the people. She, a millionaire over, many times, and Ike, robbing the people, taking. The only people that they're going to advertise in this country are people that take black people's money and give them nothing in return. That's the one they're going to advertise. If I was doing this for white people, I would be in the front pages. If I was building all this wonderful, wonderful new kingdom, this wonderful new Jerusalem, all this property would be being developed by white people, I would be right in the president's guest list. They don't want us to even have what we've set for. They don't want to even give us recognition when we come up against all their opposition and still conquer and get all the things that we've done. They don't want to give us any credit for anything. But with or without them, your God and his family shall go marching on. Hey, yes. We've come through lynch mobs, we've come through shootings, we've come through poisonings, we've come through knifings. They poisoned me before the eyes of the people in General Hospital, said it was enough to kill 10 or 11 horses. They have brought fire to our buildings. They have dynamited and put nitroglycerin under my desk, but for some reason it wouldn't go off. They have